Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's 9 a.m. It's time for Sunday school. Please take your Bibles or phones, whatever you have, to read God's Word, and please turn to Proverbs chapter 6. If you have your outlines, if you're able to print those out, that'll also be helpful. We'll be referring to many of those verses on your paper. It has definitely called me out many, many times this week studying these verses. I'm praying that this passage and these many verses are a blessing to you. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. We'll begin by reading Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Please follow as I read God's holy word. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. May God bless this reading. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, the word is very clear that pride is abominable. The word is very clear our Savior is humble. I pray as we go through this passage that we would see how you view pride within us and the grace that's available to us through Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is lesson six in our section of the Proverbs. We're going to carry this series all the way to the end of the year by God's grace. Proverbs is a different book to go through in the sense that we're right now going through Philemon. Last year we went through Acts, and so with books like that, we kind of go through them from chapter 1 to the end. With this book, it's a little harder because from chapter 11 through the end, it doesn't really have consistent themes. It's more nuggets of wisdom in little bite-sized pieces, so it's more topical in nature. So our first few lessons were somewhat introductory and kind of made sense for where they were. And our last couple sections, when we get into December, will be kind of helping us conclude the study. But for the most part, now to the end of the year are, I don't want to say random, but it's just a topic. So it doesn't really have much to do with the time in the year or with the place in the scripture. It's just a topic that the Proverbs deal with. So today, we're dealing with the topic focusing on the negative aspect. And that's something we can talk about too, that there are proverbs that are positive in nature and there are proverbs that are negative in nature. And they're all designed to help us to think things through like Christ would think things through. Wisdom is an attribute of our Savior, so wisdom should be an attribute that we strive for and by God's grace that we grow in. So as we hit these different topics, today's topic it is pride. And as you look at your outline, if you have it, there are an awful lot of proverbs that specifically talk on the negative of pride. There are proverbs that talk about specifically humility, the opposite. And there are proverbs, like we'll see some today, that have both. Because a lot of these proverbs, if we talk about this in our introductory lessons, a lot of the proverbs based on Hebrew poetry. And a lot of the Hebrew poetry dealt with contradictions, or opposites. Here's one thing, and here's the other. And here's one positive, and here's one the opposite, here's the negative. So we'll see all of that today. And it's important, as we're getting started, that we define pride. Because in both the Hebrew language and in our language, the word pride or the word proud can be used in a positive way. For example, you can say in our language, we can say that I'm proud of my child. I'm proud of my kids. And that by itself is not negative at all, of course. You are blessed at the growth of your children and how they are maturing in Christ. So to say I'm proud of my kids is not a negative. Or maybe we have a phrase in our language, take pride in your work. And that by itself is not negative. We have a phrase, the Protestant work ethic. So this was based on the biblical understanding of work, that God called us to work. God himself is a worker, so we in the image of God should be workers, and we should be good workers. So if we are telling our children, if we're telling ourselves, take pride in your work, in the sense of not something to boast about, but it's what you're called to do, so do it the very best you can, and don't be ashamed of somebody looking at that work. That would be a very appropriate mindset, a very appropriate phrase. And obviously, we know what pride is, and we know how even a good sense of pride, being proud of your kids, being proud, taking pride in your work, can turn into a negative really quickly. Because you can be proud of your kids and pat yourself on the back. It's because I did such a good job. Or you can be take pride in your work, but then in the sense of, look at how much better I am at working than all of them. So pride is a very, very sneaky thing that we need to watch out for. And today when we're talking about pride, we're going to be talking about, and there's a couple different Hebrew words, but for the most part, they have the understanding, and this is not in your notes if you want to write this down. An unreasonable concept of one's superiority. An unreasonable concept of one's superiority, and that can be in any sense. That could be, I'm faster than you, I'm smarter than you, I'm taller than you, I'm more wealthy than you, I'm better looking than you, I have a better religion than you, I have a better country than you. All sorts of things can fall under this realm of unreasonable pride. And so this is what our word is talking about. Most of the words for pride come from the root word that means to boil over, which again is that a good understanding. There's a reasonable level, but pride takes it over and takes it too far. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. If you have your notes, Roman numeral number 1, we'll talk about the sinful nature of pride. The first verse you have on your notes is Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. We'll look at the next verse, Proverbs 16, 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though he join forces, none will go unpunished. Just to get it started, let's understand this thing about pride. It's sin. It's not unfortunate. It's not potentially harmful. Pride is sin. And we have to have that understanding of pride. C.S. Lewis in The Screwtape Letters, one of his books, has this amazing understanding of pride. If you're unfamiliar with the book, Screwtape Letters is the idea of a chief demon writing letters of instruction to a lower demon, helping that demon be the best tempter and deceiver he can be. And in that account, when talking about pride, the chief demon tells the younger demon, when your subject that you are tempting has any sort of growth, make him proud of that growth. And then the second he recognizes that pride in his heart and goes, oh no, I'm getting proud, make him proud of the fact he recognized he's getting proud. And then the chief demon tells the younger demon, you have an unending loop of damage you can do to this person you're tempting with this thing that we call pride. C.S. Lewis understood what our Bible authors are saying, that he believes the demons understand that pride is sin, and it's a sin that we struggle with so much that we can get caught in again and again and again. As we'll see, it can lead to some really, really other very damaging sins. So recognize pride for what it is. It's sin. Look at the next verse, not from Proverbs. 1 Timothy 3:6, this is talking about the attributes for a bishop or an elder or a pastor, whatever term you want to use. They're used synonymously in the scripture. From this verse, 1 Timothy 3:6, talking about a pastor. A pastor must not be a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. We have a culture where if someone famous comes to the Lord, that there seem to be people that kind of rush to that person and want them to then go on speaking tours, talking about what Jesus did in their life. And there are some people that kind of go negative for that. I think some of us go negative for the wrong reason. I think some of us go negative. Oh, they're trying to get an athlete. They're trying to get attention. And they're not. Let's focus on the big part. Look what the Bible says. that person, because they're brand new to the faith, they are in even more danger of getting stuck in their pride. So if we have a negative connotation to that idea of a new Christian getting put in the limelight, it shouldn't be mad about the scream for attention. We should be mad for that person. Protect that person. Shelter that person. Help that person grow, because pride is that damaging. It can grab you so quick, and it can take, because you come to the cross humbly. So how harmful is it if right after you come to the cross humbly, you're getting put in this position where you're being lifted up by others, making it that much easier for pride to come on you? And again, our author is saying that in this situation, Paul is saying that because Paul understands how damaging pride is and how much pride can then, in that situation, where you've got somebody brand new to the faith who's pushed into a role before they're ready, it hurts them and it hurts the people underneath them that they're supposed to be leading. So damaging. It's sin. Let's go to Roman numeral number 2. The fearful judgment of pride. So again, this is now God's response to pride. Proverbs 15, verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. He'll establish the boundary of the widow. And the next verse, Proverbs 16, 18. We've probably heard this one in our culture. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God loves us and loves this world too much to not do something against pride. And so here we have two verses, two principles. The idea that God will bring down and destroy those proud people, those proud entities. Bible doesn't promise when that destruction will happen. Will that destruction happen soon? Will that destruction happen in 20 years? Maybe we're talking about a country. Maybe that country will be proud for 300, 400, 500 years before God brings them down. As a history teacher, nations come and fall. Powerhouse nations rise and fall. And if you look at what happens in those nations, a lot of time, this verse is the picture of what happens philosophically. The nation got proud. And over a course of time, however long that is, in comes destruction. I have another verse outside of Proverbs, Malachi. I'll read the verse and then I'll give you the context of Malachi. Malachi 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. Let's get some context of this. Malachi is the last book that we have in the Old Testament, of our 39 books of the Old Testament as they're put together. So it's near the end of the Jewish history, and there's a 400-year gap between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament, 400 years in history. Malachi, if you're going to read Malachi, Malachi is a really, really good book to study along with Ezra and Nehemiah, because Ezra and Nehemiah give us kind of the history of what's happening with this prophetic book of Malachi. So as we read Malachi and Ezra and Nehemiah are actually originally one book that we've split up based on the way we have our Bible. So we read these books together to see what's happening in Israel. It's not a pretty picture. There is the priesthood is so degenerate, so motivated by greed. There's intermarriage in this culture that was the Jewish people marrying outside of their culture, meaning marrying people that are followers of God. So our connotation today would be a Christian marrying a non-Christian. That warning being, when the Christian marries the non-Christian, you're taking on their God, and that's damaging to you both. We see in Malachi, Ezra, and Nehemiah, injustice. The judges are all being bought. So as opposed to right being stood for, basically whoever had the most money was getting their way. A lot of the sacrifices at this time in history, the people, instead of bringing their best to offer, they're bringing their sick lambs, their injured lambs, showing how much God meant to them through their sacrifices. So we have all of these things that so much of the Bible talks about as horrible. The Bible speaks on these things very clearly. And here in Malachi, when when our author has the chance to sum all of those things up. In chapter 4, verse 1, he sums up all of the horrible sins, calling them the acts of the proud. You're proud. You have the audacity to think you know better than God. Because God tells you this is how the priesthood should look. And you're, nah, that's okay. God says, this is how you should treasure God in your sacrifices. And you and your pride say, no, I got something better. God says, marriage is a holy institution, and this is what marriage should look like. And you spit in God's face and say, I've got one better. God says, that's pride. And that pride must be destroyed. Roman numeral number 3. The deceptive influences of pride. So this could be referring to either how pride influences you, or it could be talking about how you as a proud person influence others. Okay, the first verse you have on your notes, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Psalm 73 is a good, longer instance of this. If you want to read that on your own, Psalm 73. It's very easy for us to get deceived by the world. Because as we look at the world, it seems like nice guys finish last. And it seems like those people that are full of themselves and those people that deceive and those people that cheat, it seems like they get ahead. It seems like they're the people that are running the Fortune 500 companies. And they're the people that get nominated to those political offices. How many of us look at those elected officials and go, what just happened? How did they get there? And look at who they are and look at what they stand for. It's like the bad guys are winning. And then we're kind of putting it in front. Now, how are we going to respond to that? Are we going to then, well, if the steroid abusers get in the NBA, maybe I need to take those shortcuts so I too can get to the NBA, or whatever the case would be, where now I need to do those things to get there too. So God in his grace understands that within us, understands that it's very easy for us to get the earthly eyes and the earthly perspective. So God helps us understand there's an eternal perspective. And it is not our call to get ahead. It is our call to be humble and do right. And it may look like the deceivers are getting ahead. It may look like the proud have everything going for them. But God is a just God. And God will deal with that pride appropriately, whether it's this life or the life to come. Proverbs 28:25. I'll read the next two verses. So first, Proverbs 28:25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. And then the next verse has the same idea, Proverbs 13:10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So here in these two verses, we have the idea of a connection between pride and strife or conflict. Watch the news for 5 minutes and you'll see we are living in a very divisive time. I can't think of too many eras, things I've lived through in my life where I can say, this will be in the history books and this will be something that my grandkids are going to be asking me about. I believe this is one of them. I believe right now what's happening in our world, what happened in our own community, and in many of our cities where we live are having issues that seem to be raising divisive matters. And you know, so let's be on the same page. We're allowed to have differences of opinion. There's fact and there's opinion, and there's a difference. What we see in these verses, pride is going to take those issues and turn them into a fight. Pride is going to take those issues that we as humans, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, should be able to sit down and talk about. And we should be able to sit down and talk about differences of opinions without it turning into a fight, and without it especially turning into a personal attack. Pride will not do that. People filled with pride will take opinion, will take their opinion and turn it into gospel fact. That if anybody has the audacity to disagree with their opinion, it's worth fighting for. And it's worth fighting for to the end in a divisive, hateful way. Now, I say this with humility, brothers and sisters, the best I can. If our first thought when we heard that was, yeah, that's their problem, let's take a step back and let's evaluate ourselves first. Is that my problem? Am I having too many relationships that end in conflict? And is that because of my pride? Is my home not a pleasant place to be right now? And what role is my pride playing in that? Because pride will lead to strife. And we are called to be humble. We are called to be peacemakers, as much as depends on us, according to Romans 13. The next verse under Roman numeral 3, Proverbs 11, verse 2, Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Shame is a blessing, folks, in the sense that it keeps us in check. We need things that cause us to take a step back. And the person that has no shame usually falls into worse sins. So God gave us this gift of shame, working with our conscience, working with the Holy Spirit to stop us from doing bad things or to be too ashamed to do, fall into certain sins. If we have so much pride, we're going to keep going down that road. It's going to lead to shame. But folks, the verse doesn't say who the shame's for. Maybe you maybe a person has deadened their heart, has deadened their conscience so much that they have no more shame. Then maybe this is going to bring that shame to their family. Maybe it's going to bring that shame to the people that they represent, if they have a role of leadership. These are the damaging effects, the deceptive offensive pride, because again, I can think everything's going right. I can think I've got my life in order. But we have a just God who's ruling this earth. Roman numeral number 4. Let's finish on a positive note, because pride's a scary thing. But there's grace with God. Roman numeral number 4, the victory of grace over pride. From the Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. We talked about the fear of the Lord. We will keep talking about the fear of the Lord because we're doing it topically. A lot of these different topics intermingle. So we'll be teaching these things a lot. Obviously, almost every one of these topics that we're going to talk about will some way, shape, or form connect to the fear of God. So we'll remind you over and over again that the fear of God has that idea, I am under a holy, sovereign, wonderful God. And as such, I should desire to honor him. I should love to honor him. I should understand what it's like to not honor him through obedience. So here, Proverbs chapter 8, as the fear of the Lord is dictating how we live, as our hearts are more and more submissive to that holy reverence of God, as from our Philippians book, as we're thinking more with the mind of Christ, and we're more turning away from the things we should avoid and turning more to the things God wants us to love, we recognize some things in such a way that we hate them. And so now we come to this by God's grace. We come to this place that we hate pride. And it's easy for us to hate the pride in others. We want to get to the place, I hate the pride in others. I hate the pride in myself. I hate how my pride makes me so selfish. I hate how my pride makes me so short-tempered. I hate how my pride makes me so un-Christ-like. Because those are the things that pride leads to. So we're overwhelmed, overcome. Let's look at the next verse, because again, here's kind of our key. Proverbs 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. That's from Romans 12. Now, Romans, one of the most wonderful books we have in the Bible of pure theology, chapter 12 is the bridge from the theology, here's how you should think, to the practical doctrine, here's how you live because of who you are and how you think. So one of the very first things we have in Proverbs 12 is submit to the grace within you. And what does that lead to? Not thinking of yourself more highly than you want. Look at the connection. We need to see this, because if you're like me, you struggle with pride. So, and if you're like me, you've struggled with pride for a long time, maybe almost to a hopeless, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what to do with this. I'm still proud. I feel more proud now than I did 20 years ago. Take a breath. God provides the grace. Because of who we are in Christ, God provides the grace to humble ourselves and consider others more highly than we ought. Again, connecting to our Philippians passage, Philippians 2, 3. Philippians 2, 4, esteem others better than yourself. Philippians 2, 3. Philippians 2, 4, look for the interests of others beyond your own. So, the key to work on, if you want to be less proud, don't think about yourself more and trying to kill your pride. Think about others more. How can I serve them? How can I be a blessing to them? How can I be God's tool to help them? As you're thinking of others more by God's grace, His grace is overwhelming you, and you're thinking of others more than yourself. James 4, 6 and 1 Peter 5, 5, very, very similar. James 4, 6, but God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's focus on James 4. Oh, please, please, please read James 4 this week. Amazing chapter of scripture on humility and on the damages of pride. And it really hits hard in that section. Where do wars come from? Where do strifes come from? It comes from your selfishness and your pride. When we are selfish, when we are proud, that will lead to any and every conflict we have with every other person on this planet. So what's the secret? What's the key? You look to God. God gives grace. And God will give grace to the humble. Then 1 Peter 5, 5 is going to quote the same passage from the Old Testament. It starts off, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Can't tell you how blessed I am to serve at HBC. Because so many people from HBC live this out. I recognize my youth. I recognize my inexperience. I recognize how silly it is for me to be standing here in front of you in front of a camera or on a pulpit. When you're all there looking out, you're like, man, I'm talking to people. God is blessing them. God is using them. God has done so much more through them than he has through me. They have so much more wisdom than I have. And just a humble willingness for you to allow me to do some of these things is a blessing to me. And please understand, I recognize that act of humility in you, and I appreciate that so much, that your humility has helped me grow in so many different ways. And this is what God has called us to do. And again, it takes humility. I'm a young punk, so it takes humility for you to put yourself under the teaching of a young and experienced punk like me. So I thank you for that. And again, it trains me. I've got to be willing to submit to the goddess of the Lord, all of them. They're a good boss or a bad boss, whether they're a worthy leader or an unworthy leader. God has called us to show forth that humility in this way, in this submission, in so many different areas of our life. And we all have different areas where we have to submit. So based on what God has called you to right now, there might be a lot of areas where God has called you to submit. And so we do so by God's grace with humility. And we watch what God does through us. That's how we're an example. I don't believe this quote is on your notes. I do believe the quote is on... Okay, I apologize, I didn't put it on your notes. This is from Charles Bridges. A proud disciple of a lowly Savior? How offensive is this contradiction to our Master? What a cause of stumbling to the world. We're in a book that shows us as clearly as any other book right now in Philippians. Philippians shows us our humble Savior. And if we are called to be Christians, so that word Christian, that means little imitator Christ. If you're unaware, when we went to the book of Acts, we studied this a little bit last year, it was meant to be an insult. That was the rest of the world looking at the followers of Christ in an almost demeaning way, calling those followers little Christs, you Christians. And the people of that era knew what a blessing it would be for us to be little followers of Christ. We'll take that name. And we'll take that name with great honor and with great humility. So to this day, Christians, we are called followers of Christ, little imitators of Christ. So as we, by God's grace, imitate Christ, and those are so clear, we have a humble, humble Savior. And Philippians 2:5, let that mind be in us. Let us not be proud. Let us not let that pride lead to so many detrimental things as we see in Proverbs and throughout the Bible. But let us, by God's grace, become more and more humble, and as such, become more and more like Christ. Next week, we get to study watching daily at Wisdom's Gates. Make a quick plug for that. I heard my dad give that lesson almost 20 years ago. Many of those things that he taught from that lesson still resonate with me today. Proverbs has so many wonderful visual examples, and this to me is one of the most powerful. So please join us a week from today at 9, and please join me as I close in prayer. Father in heaven, we need your grace. We're thankful for who you are. We're thankful for what you do. We're thankful that you share with us in the scripture. We're thankful that you shared with us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that Jesus Christ was humble enough to die on the cross for our sins, was humble enough to take on flesh on our behalf, to bring you the glory you deserve. And we recognize the pride in our heart. We recognize how easily it is for that pride to fester and show itself again in a way that's sinful. And so we come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask that you would bless us with wisdom, and that wisdom would make us more humble. That wisdom would bring us to our knees. That we would recognize we need you for every breath. To recognize that you do empower us for things. And this pride doesn't lead to us not serving in your name. It doesn't lead to us resisting serving. It empowers us to serve, knowing that you give us the power, that you give us the grace, and that serving it can be done to bring you the glory and honor that you deserve. So, Father, fill us with that power. Fill us with that grace. Fill us with that wisdom. Make us more humble and more like Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name.